Thank you so much for that, and I've enjoyed all the singing today, special music, and as well as the congregationals. It's been a blessing. Well, I trust that each one of you had a good Thanksgiving with your family, friends, and you're in the house of God today to worship God. You know, it'd be a shame to come to church and not worship. And yet it's possible. Sometimes we look outside of independent Baptists or people of our stripe and we say, well, you know what? They might meet without worshiping. I want to tell you something. You might meet without worshiping. I might meet without worshiping. We just have to really do inventory on ourselves. I think sometimes we get so caught up in what others are doing that we forget that I'm not going to answer for others. Right. I'm going to answer for me. Right. And you're going to answer for you. And if I'm going to worship God today, it's a choice. And if you're going to worship God today, it's a choice. What's your choice? What's your choice today? To come and sit and listen to others sing or for you to sing? God's watching. To come to sit, to follow along the scripture, or just to pass the hour. To come to sit, to tell God how great he is and to worship him for all that he is and for all that he does, or just to come and kind of spectate and see who's wearing what and who's with who and just take some notes so that you can have some things about a family or families or a church. This thing of worship, the word itself, it's a very familiar word. But the act is not that familiar anymore. The old timers, they expected to worship. They came to worship. Actually, they didn't call it going to church. They said, we're going to meeting. We're going to meeting. Meeting, yeah, they were going to meet with God. You see, it's in worship. Now, I want you to listen to me. It's in worship that God communicates his presence unto man. C.S. Lewis, many of you have read his writings. As a young Christian, he was very distraught with this thing of God commanding men to worship him. I'll bring you the excerpt from a writing possibly next week and share it with you. Perhaps you've read it. As a young Christian, he just couldn't understand why is this God so interested in people telling him how great he is? Why does God want me to tell him how wonderful he is? If he's wonderful, doesn't he know it? Why should I tell him? Until he began to grow and he began to gain knowledge of who God is. And then he began to understand as God enlightened his mind, he realized when I worship God, God communicates his presence to me. And when God communicates his presence to me, there's no fuller joy. There's nothing in life that will exceed me being in the presence of God. That's when my joy is at its highest, and that's when my being is at its best. Have you realized that in your Christian experience? So, well, I'm at church, and you know what? I'm glad. We have a few empty chairs, not many, but I wish they all were full. Not for me, but because I believe that my God is worthy for every chair to be full, for every mind to be engaged, for every soul to sing his praise. I believe that with every fiber of my being. But I want to bring it personal. I do want you to worship God today, because I want you to experience the presence of God that he communicates to those who will worship him. By the way, that's based on a biblical principle and precept. Psalm 22, verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. God shows up when people begin to worship. Now you can sing and God may not show up. Now he may. Depends on if it's worshipful singing. But singing in itself doesn't cause God to show up. You can pray and God may not show up. You can preach and God may not show up. But you cannot worship without God showing up. See, all those other things need to be done in a worshipful attitude for God to show up. The Bible teaches this. As a matter of fact, I chose this passage of Scripture at God's leading so that we can learn some more things about worship. What have we learned about worship? Well, let's look at a few things. Well, hold your place here. We're coming back here for sure. Go back to John chapter number 4. Would you do that? By the way, what was read to you today by Pastor David, the same John that we're going to read of in the Gospel of John chapter 4 wrote this under the inspiration of the same Holy Spirit. And John in chapter 4 tells us this account of Scripture where Jesus meets this woman, and we've been talking about this, and I want to talk to you about some things that I hope that we've learned, and I just want to impress them on your mind again, the importance of worship. You can come to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meeting. You can read your Bible every day. You can pray often without worshiping God. Worship is the jewel that's missing in the crown of today's church. I believe that with all of my heart. And because the church quit worshiping, the devil has filled that void with action that is not worship. It's construed as worship. It's perceived as worship, but it's not true worship. You say, well, who made you the authority? I'm not the authority. This book is. And the Bible says what is true worship. The Bible, if you'll notice in John chapter number 4, look if you would in verse number 22. Jesus told this woman of Samaria, he said, you worship you know not what. Did you know you can worship the wrong person? You can worship in the wrong spirit. You can worship falsely. Jesus did not deny that she was worshiping. He just said, you're doing it ignorantly. Ye know not what. That's what ignorance is. Right? Ignorance is not knowing. Stupidity is knowing and not doing. Right? Yeah. So I don't like anybody saying I'm ignorant. Well, if you're ignorant, you're ignorant. You can change that. You can change stupidity. It's kind of hard to change. But you can definitely change ignorance by informing yourself or getting informed. And so Jesus said, I want to inform you of something. You're ignorant in your worship. Now, there's got to come a time in all of our lives that we really come to this place and ask this question, am I ignorant in my worship? Do I know what I worship? Do I know about worship? What is worship? Well, Jesus said this. Notice if you would. He said, if you're going to worship, in verse number 22, he said, do it knowledgeably. Don't be ignorant. Be intelligent about your worship. And so in verse number 22, you have the word ignorant, you know not what, and then you have the word intelligent. We know what we worship. Look at what he said now. He said in verse 22, ye worship you know not what. That's ignorant. We know what we worship. That's intelligence. Do you know? Do I know? I want to help us to know. You say, well, I already know. Well, then I want to move us further in this. Worship is important, brethren. Just because you're a Baptist doesn't qualify you to know what worship is. Say amen with me now. Just because you've been in church for 25 years, that doesn't mean that you know how to worship. You could be in church 6 months and know how to worship. You can be in church 2 weeks and know how to worship. Worship is not predicated and built upon the longevity of the time that you've been a Christian. There are folks that will get saved and live most of their Christian life and never truly understand or practice or experience biblical worship. That's a shame. And I don't want you to get to that place. I don't want to be at that place in my life. So what are we going to do? Where are we going to see what saith the Scripture? The Bible's always right. Say amen with me. This is not about the preacher. It's not about Baptist. It's not about fellowship. Baptist, this is not about just you or me. This is about what the Bible says. And so the Bible says this. Notice what Jesus said. So we know, first of all, worship is something that God is interested in, and it's something that could be done ignorantly, but it's something that should be done intelligently. Look at verse number 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers. Well, if there's true worshipers, there's false worshipers. Amen. I want to do it right. I want to know what true worshiper. I want to be a true worshiper. I want to know what a true worshiper is. The true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And so he said, if you're going to worship, if you're going to be a true worshiper, you're going to have to do it with some balance. You've got to do it in spirit and in truth. But there is, listen, that's spoken. You following me? That's spoken. You listen, if you're going to be a true worshiper, you're going to do it in spirit, which means with passion. It's going to come from your inner being. It's going to have emotion. It's not going to be dead. You're not going to sit there like there's nothing going on. Something's going to pluck the heartstrings of your being. Something's going to fire you up. Something's going to move you to worship in spirit. And then he said in truth. In other words, there has to be some knowledge. There has to be some information. It's not only instinctive, but it's instructional. There has to be some guidelines to worship. You just can't make up what you're going to do to worship. God has said what we're to do to worship Him. God is in charge of that, brother. Listen to me now. You don't just say, well, I'm going to do it my way. No, God said, this is the way you worship me. Right? The Bible gives, it lays it out. This is the way you worship me. And he said it's under these headings. It's spirit and it's truth. But there's a third one here that's inferred. It's by choice. Notice what he said here. He said in verse number 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship. In other words, they will choose to worship. And then he said they must do it this way. Once they make the choice, have you made the choice? Have you in your heart, in your mind, in your being said, I'm going to worship God today? Perhaps you already have. I got up this morning and worshiped God before I got here. I hope you did. You don't have to be in church to worship God. Somebody say amen with me. I know many of you hunt. You can worship God in the deer stand. You'll miss the deer. That's all right. You'll get something better. You might get to worship and get a deer. Amen. But you don't have to be in church to worship God. I think it's good to worship collectively and corporately. I believe in public worship. God does. But you can worship God in your home. You can worship God in your secret place. You can worship God in the job, in the workplace. Amen. Worship. And so what are we learning here? We're learning that worship is something that must be done knowledgeably. There's got to be some knowledge about it. You can't just say, well, I'm going to do it my way. See, that's the problem with today's worship. We have men. And when I say men, I mean mankind. Saying, I'm going to do it my way. Well, see, there's some people say that about heaven. Now, listen to me. Don't miss this. Because there's some folks say, well, I'm going to go to heaven my way. I'm going to do this, and God's going to accept it, or I'm not going to change. Well, if you're going to get to heaven, you're going to do it God's way. I'm not being mean. I'm just being straight. And can I tell you, in our day, we need some straightness. We need somebody just to put it out there and say, hey, this is what God said. I'm not going to dance around what God said. I want to know what God said so I can do it. And I believe you do too. Now Cain said, I'm going to offer my sacrifice. I'm going to worship God my way. And God will accept it. He didn't. And Jude said that there are those who go the way of Cain. They were still around in Jude's day. Can I tell you, they're still around in our day. I'm going to worship God my way. I'm going to bring the work of my hands. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. And God's going to accept it. No, He won't. I'm just telling you now, brethren. Please hear me. God has a way. And we don't get to choose if and make up the way we're going to do it. We follow God's word and worship God in accordance to his scripture, in accordance to his word, and it would be found acceptable in his sight. When Abel brought his offering, when Abel worshiped God in the way that God said do it, God received it. You see? And here we are today. Now, both of them chose, but one of them did it ignorantly, just like in this passage right here. And one of them was a true worshiper. And God received Abel's worship. So I want God to receive my worship. I do too. So what can we learn about this? Well, before I leave this passage, I want to just point out something to you, and then we'll get back to Revelation. I'm going to make some points that I hope will be a help to you, and it's been a help to me. Notice, if you would, in verse number 23, I find this very, very interesting, something that Jesus says here. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now here it is. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God's not just seeking worshipers. Did you get what was just said there? He is seeking true worshipers. He's not just seeking worshipers. Jesus didn't say, well, you know what? Dear ma'am at Samaria, you just keep on worshiping. God's just seeking worship. No, he said, you need some information so you can worship in a way that would be acceptable to God. And so he said, the Father is seeking, not just worshipers. Did you get what Jesus said? He said, the hour now is that the Father, that the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh. You see that such? The true worshipers. Now here is where we're going to get together. If you came today seeking to worship, and God is seeking true worshipers, we can have us a worship service. Amen. Amen. Did you come today seeking worship? Or did you check a box? Hey, I know how these things work. Well, I tell you, the devil will fight your prayer life. If the devil fights your prayer life, and I mean this with all my being, say amen. Amen. I believe that's most of you. If you pray, the devil's going to fight your prayer life. The devil will fight your devotion time, the reading of the Word of God. If the devil is fighting or has fought your devotional time, say amen.
Amen.
Say it with conviction. He's fighting you. The devil will fight your life of witness and testimony. He doesn't want you telling other people.
Amen.
If the devil fights you, witness and say amen.
Amen.
Say it and mean it. I'm going to tell you something the devil fights more than anything else. The devil hates when people worship God. He hates it. And more than he'll fight my prayer life, and more than he'll fight my devotional life, and more than he'll fight me witnessing and telling others about Jesus, he will fight me from worshiping. You know why? Because he knows if he can keep me from worshiping, my prayer life is going to flicker. My Bible reading is going to be inconsistent. And my witness is going to be powerless. Now, you know this is so. We're believers. We've been in this for a while. Most of us have been saved for a while. And we understand what the battle's about. And that's why the devil wants you not to worship Jesus Christ. And he will fight you. He will fight you to keep you from worshiping God. But God is seeking. Are you seeking? Are you willing? Have you made the choice like Mary? She hath chosen that one thing that is needful. Remember? Now let's go back to the Revelation and let's look at a few things. I hope you'll stick with me here. I want to answer three questions in about 15 minutes. If my math is correct, that'll give me about 5 minutes per question. You didn't know I could do math like that, did you? The first question. The sin question. Worship will keep me from sinning, or sin will keep me from worshiping. If I have unconfessed sin, unrepented sin in my life, unlamented, if I'm just living in a manner that I say I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it or I'm not going to make it right, you can forget about biblical worship. Now, you might get a little feeling and you might read some scripture and you might listen to some music and it might move you and it might sweep across a string, but as far as biblical worship, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. God said that we're to be clean vessels, that we're to deal with this sin in our lives, that we're to not allow sin to take a stronghold in our lives. The sin question. I want you to hold your place here in the book of the Revelation and go back, if you would, and we're going to look at a couple of scriptures. Look, if you would, in Luke chapter number 6. In Luke chapter number 6, would you turn there? I'm going to ask you to turn to a few scriptures, and you'll, if you'll turn quickly, I'll move fairly quickly. In Luke chapter number 6, Jesus asked a very important question. We're talking about the sin question. How does sin tie into worship? Sin will keep me from desiring to worship God. See, sin is saying, I'm not going to do it God's way. I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to do what God says do about sin. I'm going to do what I choose to do about sin. Listen, you will not worship God with that mindset. You can come to church. You can read your Bible. You can pray, but you will not worship God with unconfessed sin in your life, with a spirit of rebellion in your heart, saying, I'm not going to deal with sin in my life. I know it's wrong, but I'm not going to deal with it. Notice, if you would, in Luke chapter 6, Jesus, and Pastor David on Sunday nights is preaching through the Sermon on the Mount. This is a lot of material that's in the Sermon on the Mount here in Luke chapter 6. And Jesus is basically saying this. He's saying, listen, I don't want you to do this. I want you to do this. This is how I want you to live. This is what I want you to do. Jesus has that right if you are a believer. Amen. He's bought you with the price. He's bought me with the price. And so he's saying, this is what I want done, and this is how I want you to do it. And then he got down to verse number 46, and I want you to notice what he said. He said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You're not going to be able to worship me. You're not going to be able to worship me by just what you say. You can say you're worshiping. You can say you're doing right. You can say, but your life will tell the story. Is that right, brethren? He said, you are to obey my commandments. Turn, if you would, to John chapter number 14. In John 14, Jesus said this. He said, you've got to deal with sin in your life. If there's a reason that today's Christianity is weak, it's because of our light view of sin. God has not changed his mind about sin. And I believe the reason that a lot of churches have little to no worship, a lot of people are not worshiping, is because we're not dealing with sin in our lives. And we all are confronted with it. From this man all the way down to every member of this congregation. Sin. Sin will try to find an inroad to your life, and it will try to snuff out the presence and power of God in our lives. We must deal with sin if we're to worship God. We must. No wonder we don't want to sing when we come to church. We've lived a life, a whole week of life of sin, rebellion. And we come to church and we want to feel better. It's not going to happen, brethren. It's not going to happen, I say. There must be a confession. There must be repentance. There must be a sorrow for sin, saying, God, I'm sorry. I'm going against your commandments. And I want you to forgive me and cleanse me. We cannot continue to live in sin and have the peace and joy of God in our hearts and lives. Say, well, some preacher told me it was okay. If some preacher told you something is okay that God said was sin, that preacher is lying to you. Amen. The Bible says in John chapter 14, look if you would in verse number 15. John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. This thing of love and worship go together. You ever heard somebody say about a woman, she worships the ground her husband walks on? You ever heard someone say that about someone's child? I tell you, that mom and dad, they worship the ground that little fellow walks on. What they're saying is they love them with all of their heart. There's nothing they wouldn't do for them. Jesus said, do you love me like that? To do what I say? Not do what you want to do, but do what I say do. A lot of times that's the difference between us committing sin and abstaining from sin. Now I want you to turn to the book of the Revelation. Let's see what we have here. I want to give you some steps. That's the first step, the sin question. You can't cover your sin now and prosper in this thing called worship. Please understand this. You see, if you're going to worship God now, you're going to have to get your sin under the blood. I'm glad God forgives sin, aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. Did you know the Bible says if we would confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? God says, you bring your sin to me and I'll deal with it. Don't you try to deal with it. You confess it. Amen. Keep short accounts with God, brethren. It's a way to stay in a worshipful attitude, isn't it? I'm going to say that again and give you an opportunity to respond. Keep short accounts with God. It's a way to stay in fellowship with God.
Amen.
Keep short accounts with God. It keeps us in a worshipful attitude. Boy, when we have unconfessed sin in our lives, when we're living in direct disobedience to God's word, we have no desire to worship. Our choice is for sin and not worship, for self and not God. Now, you know this to be so. We've all been there. The second thing I want you to notice in this scripture, in John chapter number 4, we have this vision of John being in heaven. I want you to really pay close attention here. This is going to help somebody to get into an understanding of worship today. I just know that it is, because I know God definitely laid this on my heart. What's happening here? John, the apostle, has been transferred. He's been translated up to heaven. And when he gets to heaven, he says in verse number 2, he said, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne. Isn't that amazing? That's the first thing he saw, was a throne. As a matter of fact, in Revelation chapter number 5, if I counted correctly, the word throne is mentioned 15 times. Through the book of the Revelation, the word throne is mentioned 46 times. God wants you to know something about the throne. The throne is authority. The throne is where the king sits. The throne is where God wants you to look to see who your king is. The throne is there to remind us who's in control. Now in heaven, God is in control. God is in control on this earth. We just can't see it the way it's seen in heaven. And so right when we get to heaven, notice what's happening here. He said, I want you to notice this throne. Now, if I'm going to worship, there's some things here that I've got to take in. I want you to just fast forward a little bit, and I want you to follow something with me. All right? Just follow along, and I think you'll see what's happening. What's going on in heaven, preacher? What's going on in heaven? Well, I think there's a lot of things going on in heaven. But I want you to notice the main thing that's going on in heaven. It's worship. I want you to notice it with me, okay? Notice if you would, in verse number 8. And the four beasts, Revelation 4, verse 8, don't miss it now. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and which is and which is to come. And when those beasts, now watch this now, they're worshiping God. Don't miss this. They are worshiping God. We're going to learn, I told you last week, the Bible doesn't give us as much definition as it does demonstration. Remember that? We try to define words. I'd rather experience something than define something. Amen. Experience is very, very important when it comes to understanding. And so watch what these beasts are doing. Look, if you would, in verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne. Now watch this. And worship him. Worship. Worship. You see. Why? They're ascribing praise. They're ascribing glory. They're ascribing honor. They're giving thanks. They're exalting him that sat on the throne. You get it? Look in chapter 5 just for a moment. Look at chapter 5 just for a moment. Look at verse number 9. And they sung a new song. Now, who are these? Well, look at verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, there they are. And the 24 elders, I believe listen, don't understand all there is about it, but I believe that represents the saved of all the ages, those 24 elders. It says that they fell down, verse 8, before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy, amen. What are they doing? They're worshiping God. We're getting a demonstration here of what happens when people begin to worship. When people begin to worship, the preacher's not all that. Those that sing are not all that. We're grateful for our preachers. We're grateful for our singers. We're grateful for those who have talent. We're grateful for our church family. But when men and women begin to worship, we give our worship to God and God only. To God and God only. God alone deserves all the praise. That's what's happening here. The demonstration. They forget all the things. Listen, not a word said about the walls of Jasper. Not a word is said about the street of gold here. Not a word about all that say, Grandma and Grandpa and our loved ones. Thank God all that will be there if they're saved in the grace of God and all the scenes that will be there. But what will be the central thing of heaven? It'll be the worship of him that sits on the throne. Amen. Worship. Ascribing praise, telling God, God, you're wonderful. God, thank you for bringing me here. I didn't get here on my own. God got me here, and I want to bless him for it. Look, if you would, in Revelation chapter number 7. Look, if you would, in verse number 12. Revelation chapter number 7, we'll start in verse number 11. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders. Well, there they are again. And the four beasts and fell down before the throne on their faces. And what were they doing, church? Worshiping God. They were worshiping God. What were they doing, preacher? They were saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever and ever. Amen. Yeah. Worshiping. Say, preacher, I don't like when people say amen. Well, you better get used to it. Because in heaven, there's a lot of amens going on. I don't like when folks are praising God vocally and verbally. Get used to it, brother. When we get to heaven, there's going to be a whole lot of praising going on. Look, if you would, in chapter number 11. I'm just going through a few things. I'm trying to draw a picture from the demonstration that God gives us about worship. Look, if you would, in verse number 16 of chapter 11. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell down upon their faces. And what did they do, church? Worship God. Worship God. The scripture said, they were saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord, God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Turn over, if you would, to chapter 12. Just, you may not even have to turn depending on the size of print in your Bible. Look at verse number 10. Verse number 10 says, I heard a loud voice of chapter 12 saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ, for the accuser of who? The brethren, Christians, The accuser of the brethren is cast down, which is accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their power, and they loved not their lives until the death. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens. Worship. Worship. Look in chapter number 15, if you would, of Revelation. This, I'll give you two more. It's full. It's full of heaven, of people just praising God. Now, what did Jesus say to pray? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. They're worshiping God up there. And God wants us to worship him. But they're doing it according to God's dictates. Now, they're just not doing what they want to do randomly. No, they're doing it in accordance. If you'll notice, there's a structure here, and we're going to look at it before we close here in just a moment. Look, if you would, chapter 15. Look, if you would, verse number 2 of chapter 15. Well, we'll start with verse 3. The Bible says in Revelation 15, verse 3, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and what, church? Worship before thee. For thy judgments are made manifest. Let me give you one more before we go back to chapter 4 and wrap this up. Look in chapter 19. Chapter 19, this is you talking about a demonstration of praise and worship. Here it is. You say, but preacher, that's in heaven. Yeah, I know. But can I tell you, we can do this on earth. As a matter of fact, it's God's desire. It's God's desire that we worship him. You say, what am I going to get out of worshiping God? You're going to get joy. You're going to get fulfillment. You're going to become more like God. Did you know you become more like the thing you worship? And you will aid the Holy Spirit in conforming you into the image of God's Son. And that is the purpose that God saved you. I'm the best version of me when I'm like him. And you are too. And I'm most like him when I worship him. Amen. This thing of worship's important. Don't hear a whole lot about Bible worship these days. I realize it's not popular to speak on worship and praising God and for fear that somebody might think, well, you know, they've turned into Pentecostal down there at Fellowship Baptist. Do you think this preacher's concerned about what they're saying? I'm concerned about what this is saying. I want to be this, brother. I'm not concerned about no denominational tag. I want to please God with my life, and I believe you do. I'm not saying you have to get out and turn cartwheels in the aisle. If you do, just make sure you're filled with the Spirit. David turned cartwheels. He done a holy dance before the Lord. It's okay to say amen in church. That shakes me up. Maybe you need to get to worshiping more. It's okay to sing out in church. You say, well, I'm ashamed of my voice. Don't be ashamed of how you sound. Listen, be proud and be thankful of who you get to sing to. We get more concerned about how we sound than what he thinks. I don't sing loud because of the people sitting next to me, preacher. I'd get more concerned about who's looking down on you than who's sitting next to you. Sing it to him. And if you sing it good enough, you might can sing it to them. Oh, listen, in chapter 19, I'll read this. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah! Sounds like to me they're on to something up there. Right. Hallelujah! Salvation, glory, and honor, and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. And he hath judged the great whore who did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah, for her smoke rose up forever and ever. Here we go now. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down in what, church? Worship God that sat on the throne saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out from the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Yeah. Man. So what are we going to do? You say, well, that sounds like to me they're worshiping God, preacher. They are.
Amen.
Can I tell you that the latter part of verse number 8 says this? It says that the saints, the bride, were clothed and they had on fine linen, clean and white. You see that in verse 8? Look at the last part of it. It's the righteousness of saints. It's the right acts. See, sin is not a problem now. See, one day sin is going to be taken care of forever. But for now, we got to deal with this thing called sin if you're going to worship God. So, preacher, how can I get to this place? Well, number one, let's go back to chapter 4. Number one, got to do it the Bible way. Search the scriptures. Over and over again, you'll find out that the Bible gives us instruction on how to worship, in particular in the Psalms. But there's some instruction right here. Can I tell you, before these people ever opened their mouth to say anything about God, they took some action. Did you notice it? Look, if you would, in verse number 10. Verse number 11, the latter part, what's the last word in verse number 10? Saying. You in chapter 4? The last word in verse number 10 is saying. But before they said anything, they done some things. Before you will ever lift your voice and praise God. Now, you hear the preacher this morning. I'm telling you what the Bible says. There's some steps you will take. If not, it'll just be empty. It'll be empty words coming out of your mouth. Might sound good to man, but God won't be listening. Look what it says in verse number 10. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne. Has there been a falling down place in your life? This word is submission. Look it up. You have to submit yourself to God before you'll ever worship him. God's looking for submissive hearts, yielding hearts, hearts that will say, not my will, but thy will be done. God, I don't want to live my life. I want Christ to live his life in me.
Amen.
That's what's happening here. See, before they ever could say what they were going to say, they had to do something. They fell down. Have you presented yourself? Have you yielded? Have we yielded ourselves? I mean, all of us. So, well, I've given God most of me. Oh, listen, your worship is half-hearted then. My worship is half-hearted then. It is when we give God all of us, we can worship with all of us. When we yield it all, when we submit it all and say, God, empty me of self. Cleanse me of sin and receive my worship from a whole heart. I want to worship you. Now, the thing that will keep you from worshiping God, now please listen to me, is when you say, well, I'll do this and this, but I'm not going to do this. Mm-mm. No. I'm glad God doesn't save a percentage of us. And God's not going to accept a percentage either. God gave it all. What does God expect, brethren? All. Have you yielded? You say, well, I did one time. You know the thing about this yielding, it's really something, isn't it? We just have to do it again and again sometimes. And we just have to come back afresh. And some of you need to do that this morning. You need to come right down here to this altar, not talk to the preacher, not talk to somebody in the church. You just talk to God and say, God, here's the deal. You know what's going on. And you tell it to Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, you have no other, such a friend or brother. You tell it to Jesus alone. And he'll help you today. That's his word. That's his word. And you'll be able to leave here with a worshipful spirit. All right? Submission. Write that word down. The sin question. Confess your sin. Submission. Submit your whole heart, your whole life. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies. Present them. And then finally, the seeking question. Did you get it? Once they fell down, which is a sign of humility. Okay? God, I humble myself. I fall down before you. You're my Lord. You're more than my Savior. Now, you get to choose. Now, listen to me now. This is something, all right? Not because I'm saying it. It's because the Bible teaches it. You get to choose if Jesus is going to be your Savior. And in this life, you can choose that. You can choose if he's going to be your Lord. But now, sooner or later, you may say, I'm not going to accept Jesus as my Savior. Well, there's going to come a day when you won't have a choice. You will receive him as your Lord. You listening? Because every knee is going to bow. Listen, you're going to do that right before you're punished. Every knee is going to bow. You will recognize him as Lord. Whether you receive it or not, you're going to recognize it and you're going to agree Jesus is everything the Bible said he was.
Amen.
You get to choose in this life. But after this life, the choice is over. Verse number 11. And this is where I close. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive. And you look these words up, and I'm not going to go into them. Glory, honor, power. Go through the book of the Revelation. Thanksgiving, riches, wisdom. Everything that man clamors for. Everything that man wants people to heap on him and to give to him. The worshipful mindset says, no, I don't want it. I want you to have it, Lord. You're the only one worthy of it. Now, I'm getting ready to say something, and I mean this. I do with everything within me. If we're not careful, we can want men to give us glory, to give us honor, to give us praise. I could be guilty of that. I have been in the past. I don't want to be guilty of that. I want to get to the place, and I believe I'm gaining. I want God to receive it all. I don't want any of it. I don't deserve any of it. Because all that I am is because all that he's given me. I'm not worthy of any of anything. I know where I would be without God, and I believe you do too. And if you'll study closely, when those folks are worshiping God, they're telling God, they're saying, you're worthy of all the things that I'm fighting for in life. Riches, look at it. Wisdom, go through those sections of Scripture. Honor, glory. I that's why they cast their crown. Did you notice that? That's what that means. See, I was crowned with these things as I'm all that. Nah. You deserve it. See, now you can worship. You've fallen down. You've submitted. And now you're seeking. All right? God's seeking someone that will worship him. And you're seeking as you throw your crown, proverbial crown, in this life back to him and say, I'm not worthy. You're worthy. You're seeking to worship him. When two seekers come together, worship happens. All right? I hope this helped you. If it didn't, please go home and read it again. And read it again. God, I deal with the sin in my life. You may stand to your feet. I deal with sin in my life. Listen, it's not up to me to tell you what this and that. You know what's going on in your life. There's sins of omission, sins of commission. There's sins of attitude. There's sins of action. You know, someone doesn't have to tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, how about this sin or that sin? The Spirit that lives within each one of us will tell us, hey, this needs to be dealt with. All right? So the sin question, take it to Jesus. He loves you. He wants to forgive you. He does, and he will if you'll confess it. The submission question, fall down before him. Submit yourself. Fall down. Bow in his presence and say, God, you alone are worthy. No preacher worthy, no human being worthy, no earthly king worthy. God, you are worthy of all of our praise. And then the seeking question. What are you seeking in life? More than riches, I seek his approval. More than wisdom, I seek his approval. More than honor, I seek his. See, you see? That's what's happening there. God, you're worthy of these things. The things that men fight and war and bicker over to see who's best and who's this. God, you're worthy of all of that. We are your people. It is you that has made us. And we are the sheep of your pasture. We give you all the glory. Have you come to that place? God, I want you to get all the glory. And have you given it to him? Let's bow our heads together. The pianist is going to be